You know, sometimes the little things can make all the difference. So today I thought I'd share some little stuff that's going to make you more money, including 12 points that I check religiously before I buy any car. If you buy and sell cars for a profit, or you want to, you're in the right place. This is the Flipping Genius Podcast. I am your host, Randy Lee. I've been flipping cars most of my life, despite having almost zero mechanical skill. For the past dozen years or so, I've been a licensed used car dealer in the great state of Alabama. No matter what the topic, the number one goal of this podcast is to help our listeners make more money. Let's get to it, flippers. Well, hey, flippers, I am back, and I made some discoveries while I was on the road, and I thought I'd share some cool things that I found, and some little things that I've discovered that can make all of us more money. And that's kind of what we're going to talk about today, the little things that can make you more money if you keep paying attention to those details. But I wanted to start off by just talking about some cool discoveries and some new friends that I've made this past week. I don't know if I mentioned it, but I know I talked about our last episode was our family reunion episode. And I was telling you, I was heading on a trip with my family. We went to Branson, Missouri, which is a pretty cool place. There's some beautiful golf courses. I don't know if you play golf. I'll tell you what, it's a destination. But and my brothers and I, we play golf, and that's one of the first things we did. And we're on the first tee, waiting to go on the first tee, and I see a gentleman who is unmistakably Elvis Presley. And I went up to him and asked him, I said, "You've got to be an Elvis Presley impersonator." And he said, "Yes, I am." And this guy, he could not have been a nicer man. His name's Ryan Pelton, and Ryan is probably the greatest Elvis Presley impersonator on the planet. And you can check him out online. You'll see that I am not exaggerating. But I don't think he could have been a nicer guy. And it was so fun just talking to him for a couple minutes on that first tee. And he, as I talked to him, I looked over his shoulder, and, you know, who was standing there was Elwood Blues from the Blues Brothers. It was actually Justin Sassanella. I don't know if I'm pronouncing Justin's name right, but Justin actually plays the role of Elwood Blues in the Legends performance there in Branson. And then the third guy of their group at the moment was Fernando Castro, who is Freddie Mercury. At least he is at Legends. And these guys are great guys. And they are playing golf in front of us. And why I'm telling you this is because they've all agreed to come on the podcast at some time and talk to us about some flipping ideas that they have, and just about having fun, I guess. And it was great fun to see them at the golf course, and then we were able to go see their show later. And I'll just tell you this: if you're looking for a place to go with your family, Branson, Missouri is a great place to go. And if you are in that area, you owe it yourself to see that Legends show. I was just blown away. It was like I was watching Elvis Presley and the Blues Brothers and Freddie Mercury, and Lady Gaga too was on the stage, and I didn't get to meet her, but what a cool adventure that was. So hey, look forward to that coming up. We'll probably do some short videos with them on our YouTube channel, but I look forward to them when they have the opportunity to share the mic with me. We'll definitely get them on. And if that never comes to fruition, I still want to say thank you to those guys for their hospitality in Branson. And it was really, really a lot of fun. But seeing Dave been wonderful to us, and I believe that they will come join us on the mic. But going back to that Branson golf, I want to tell you, we played golf every day, and it was just a lot of fun. And there's some amazing golf courses there. And along the way, you're probably saying, Randy, you're crazy, man, the way you talk about stuff. Well, maybe I'm a little crazy, but along the way, I drove there. My brother flew. My other brother drove short distance from Kansas City. But I drove all the way over from Alabama, and I drove through Mississippi and Arkansas and then back through Missouri. And I discovered another thing. I discovered something that I would like to know more about. I'm not gonna pretend that I know about this. Although you know me, it doesn't take me long to get ankle deep in this stuff. And one of the things I discovered was a big truck magazine at a truck stop that I was getting gas at. I grabbed that thing and carried it with me. And I'm in the midst of bidding on three vehicles right now because I believe there's a lot of money to be made in the big truck flipping business. Now, these are all big dump trucks that I'm trying to buy right now. But I got to admit, I don't know much about it. I just know that if I can buy them right and sell them right, I'm going to make money in between. So if you're out there and you're hearing this on the Flipping Genius podcast, and you can educate me a little bit about the big truck flipping world, that would be awesome. Just reach out to me at flippingquestions@gmail.com. Let me know what you know, and that if you'd like to share it, that would be so cool. I would love for it to happen. Or if you want to go right to the website, flippinggenius.com, and click on the scheduling page where you schedule a free 20-minute one-on-one with me, I'd love to talk to you about that and find out more about it, possibly bring you on the podcast in a future episode to talk about that. I know it's a little bit off track, but it really isn't. See, car flipping is something that you and I, or you know, most everybody that's listening to the podcast does, but we all know there's other flipping things out there. And the fact is that some of these big rigs sell for a ton of money. And if you know what you're doing, you can make a lot of money. Along those lines, there's farm equipment and construction equipment and boats and even golf carts. So I've got a friend who does golf carts part-time, and he also, every year at Memorial Day, buys a boat, enjoys it for a couple weeks, and then flips it for a profit. And there's so many opportunities out there, and I would like to learn more about them myself. So if you are on the other side of this and you're hearing my voice and you can help us out and you're willing to do that, to share your stories on that, please do. And if you don't want to talk to me personally, but rather just share some information, join our Flippers Forum at Facebook. Just search Flipping Genius on Facebook and you'll find our Flippers Forum. We're rapidly approaching 250 members. And my goal is to have 1,000 members in that thing by the end of the year. But I want to have the right kind of members like we have right now, folks that are definitely interested in helping each other and learning from each other, not a place to promote yourself. And we'll keep it that. You can take that to the bank, because I don't allow that kind of thing to happen on any of our groups. And we have about 20 of them right now, but that's our only Flippers Forum group. So if you'd like to share some information on there, that'd be awesome. Or set up a one-on-one with me, or just email me at flippingquestions@gmail.com. So that big truck, boat, tractor, golf cart, construction equipment opportunity is out there. And that's another discovery that I made. And then I woke up this morning, and I saw one of my friends, Ed Fox, who owns a couple of the trade bank operations, one in Nashville and one in, it's in Kansas, and I can't think of the name right now. It begins with a W, and I know you're out there shouting it at me. Wichita, Kansas, sorry. Ed has a great podcast that I've mentioned before about the barter business, but he's got a new podcast that I listened to this morning. And I really enjoyed it. It was about networking. And I thought, this is some information that will help all of us in the flipping business too. And I want to share that with you when I come back from this break, because I've got to get a jug of Kickapoo juice, because I'm not even pronouncing that word right. And when I do, I'm gonna share three tips that I learned from Ed this morning. And then we're going to get into those little things that can make a big difference in all of our business. You know, my business has been a member of the iTex business-to-business barter community for over a decade. And iTex is the largest commercial business-to-business barter organization in the world. They're traded on the New York Stock Exchange, and iTex has helped me secure hundreds of thousands of dollars in business that I would have not had it not been for iTex over the years. Extremely profitable business from customers that I would have never been able to meet without them, who led me to cash paying customers who I also would not have met without them. If you're in business for yourself, or you want to be, you owe it to yourself, your family, your employees to investigate iTex. You can learn more about iTex by clicking on the resources page at flippinggenius.com and then click on the business and finance heading. The first thing you will see is iTex, I-T-E-X. Click on the link to learn more. Hey, please tell them that you heard about it on Flipping Genius. All right, we're back, and I want to keep my promise to you, so let's talk about what I learned this morning that's going to help you make money. And then get into those little things that are going to make us money. But I was listening to Ed Fox, my buddy from Trade Bank in Nashville and Wichita, Kansas, and his new podcast. And I'll put a link on it because I can't remember the name right now, but I'll put a link to his podcast on our show notes on this page. And also another thing, fun thing is I'm going to put up some pictures of me with the guys from Legends, and you'll see that I told you they look just well, they look like the people they represent, and it's kind of amazing. But anyway, Ed said some things that really hit home with me, and I thought this stuff makes a lot of sense. And I'll tell you what, I discovered today that I was using exactly what Ed said today as I was out in the rain getting some parts fixed on a Ford Freestyle that I have. The first thing that Ed was talking about, he was talking about how to network with other businesses. This was Ed's business. And I find that I constantly do this. Now, I don't know, you flippers may not see this. And if you don't see this, if you're not looking at your flipping business as a business, you're probably missing out, because we are in business. I don't care what level you're at. I don't care if you have a 500 car lot, or if you are a guy who buys and sells a car out of your front yard every 3 months. We are all trying to pursue something. And what mostly that is making more money. And the number one goal of this podcast, as you know, is to help our listeners make some more money. So the first thing that Ed told me is don't hijack a conversation. And this makes a lot of sense. As you know, I talk and talk and talk. That's why I have a podcast. But the fact is that when I'm talking with an individual face-to-face or on a Zoom call, my goal is to make it a conversation, not just make it a speech. And it's very important that when you do that, you ask questions and you listen and you direct a conversation, because, well, I'm going to jump ahead to what the last point that Ed made this morning. And he said, remember this, you learned it in school, R becomes before S. And what he meant by that is relationships come first, and then sales come later. And nobody cares how much you know until they know how much you care. Now, you've probably heard this stuff before. Maybe you haven't. But it makes a ton of sense. And I'm going to give you an example of how I used it this very day. So I needed to get a tire replaced on a wheel for a Ford Freestyle that I'm rebuilding. And I was at the tire store. I was at the used tire store, because that's a lot of times I'll do a used tire. And they had a good one. One thing that I happened to do is not negotiate. You're going to say, Randy, but I saw an opportunity here. And they were going to take my spare off that was on the car, put it back in the vehicle. They were going to put my new tire on the car and get it all balanced and ready to go. And they wanted $45 for that. I usually try to negotiate it down to 30 or 35, and I'll stand there and argue a little bit, but I didn't. I said, 45, let's do it. Because I saw some opportunity here. And what I saw were some vehicles that looked like they might not be being used. So I pulled out my business card that says I buy cars and immediately started talking to the folks who were there, who, by the way, none of them spoke English. A little bit of English. I think it's a peak in pico English, because I only speak a little bit of Spanish. And in doing so, in allowing them to make a reasonable profit on their used tire, I opened the door for them to listen to me. And by keeping my head on a swivel and being observant, I picked up a lead on two good vehicles and a good opportunity possibly to make some money on those vehicles. The key was I took some time to build a relationship a little bit, just a little bit of time, and to be reasonable in my business expectations. I developed this tiny little bit of relationship with them, and my sale on this particular deal was actually to buy a vehicle. And I'll try to get that worked out this week, because I want to check some things with a mechanic before I close that deal down. But looks like I would be buying a vehicle that will sell for about $4,000, pick it up for around $800, $900, and put maybe $500 or $600 in it, I'm guessing. And, well, if you do the math, that's a pretty good conversation to have. So in listening to Ed early this morning, about 5 o'clock this morning, I learned don't hijack the conversation. Talk, talk, talk. And along the way, while I was waiting, along the way, I met another gentleman who was sitting next to me who owned a concrete company. And I passed my card to him. I had a little discussion with him and his family and listened about his business. And then I passed him my card. And that also looks like it could lead to an opportunity. So we should be networking. You should be networking. I've told you this before. Get out. Go see people. And this was a rainy day here in Alabama. As it turned out, I managed to get everything fixed on that vehicle because the rain let up and I could do the work that I needed to do. And those guys did their work in the rain. And so I picked up some very good leads, both for buying and selling some vehicles, which I'm excited about. And that was the steps. I didn't overstate, didn't overtalk. I listened and looked for opportunities. And amazingly, I think I can speak about 5% Spanish, probably not even that. And the gentleman I was talking to could speak maybe between 10% and 40% English. But we were able to communicate everything that we needed to communicate in those conversations. And the last piece of the puzzle that Ed mentioned is one that I also happened to use already today, and that was social media. He said, make sure that you update your social media. As you hand out these business cards, if your business card has your website on it, if you invite people to learn more about you on social media, whether it be Facebook or LinkedIn or Twitter or whatever you use, make sure your social media is up to date. And that's very, very important. And I am a little guilty of not having it right up to date. I noticed that on my LinkedIn, I needed a few changes. So keep that stuff up to date. If you're not there, get there, because people will look for you. They'll look for your services. They'll look for vehicles, and you can advertise in these places for practically nothing or nothing. So those are the three tips that I learned from Ed today. They've already benefited me. Already. It's awesome. Thank you, Ed. I appreciate that. And hey, if you've got anything to add along these lines, I would love to hear it. Send me information, send me questions at flippingquestions@gmail.com. Interact with me on our flipping forum. And hey, I haven't mentioned it, but I am excited to work with you one-on-one and see if there's a way to help you build your business. This is something that we are doing with businesses all across North America at this point. And of course, there's limited time, but if you'll go to the website, flippinggenius.com, you'll see the box. You can click and set up a free 20-minute one-on-one with me, and we'll talk about what you're doing and see if there's a way that what I can do can help you do what you do better so that you'll make more money. That is what we're after, right? Hey, I'm going to take a little break so I can get another jug of Kickapoo Joy Juice. And I'm going to talk about some little things, these little tiny things that can make us all a lot more money. Hey, you know, when we started the Flipping Genius podcast, one of the things I thought that we could do to create revenue is create a digital training course about car flipping. And then I discovered Jeremy Fisher had already created a 3-hour car flip and a 3-hour car flip academy. He did such a fantastic job. I didn't see any way that I could duplicate that effort anywhere near the price that he was willing to charge. And then I invited Jeremy to come share the microphone with us in episode 42 of Flipping Genius. He did, which is exciting to me. And then he said we could sell his product on our website for less than $50. And he'd even give us a small commission every time we sold one. It's a great deal. And it's a great course. It'll help you make some money no matter where you're at in the flipping game. I encourage you to go to flippinggenius.com, click on resources, click on more great stuff, and buy Jeremy's course. It's less than $50. I'm confident that you will make probably 10 times that much on your very first flip. It's very well worth it. Okay, we're back. We're going to talk about some little things that make a big difference. And I thought I'd start off with some stuff that I picked up today. I was talking to KJ Howard. You might remember KJ from way, way back when we were early times of the podcast. KJ's a car dealer here in Alabama. And I bumped into him the day at the dealer auction, and I said, KJ, what's the smartest little thing that you do at the auction that makes you money? And he said two words. He said, I watch. And I knew exactly what he was talking about, because I was thinking the same exact thing. When I'm at the auction, I watch the other dealers. Now, I know you guys aren't all at car auctions all the time, but I just wanted to share this little thing with you, because I'll tell you what I was watching for today. There's one particular guy at the auction. I know that he bids on his own stuff. I know this because I've watched. And I'm not going to call him out, but I didn't need to say much to get KJ to know exactly what I was talking about. But then he said, I watch the other dealers to see what they're doing. And then he said, and I think this is a great compliment. He said, I watch you, Randy Lee. I know if you're bidding, then you've checked it out, and I'll let you do the homework. I hated that, because I knew that the KJ will probably pay more than I do for the same vehicle. But hey, that's cool. It's nice of him to say. And that is really a fact. You know, if you are at a car auction, watch what other people are doing. Keep your eye on the ball, man. Keep your head on a swivel. I was looking at about 50 cars today at the auction, and as it came rolling through, yeah, I keep an eye on what other people are doing, especially when they're going crazy overbidding on things. And then all of a sudden, the vehicle rolls through that looks pretty good, and nobody is bidding on it except for me and one other guy. And it was funny today, because that one other guy was the only guy bidding on a couple cars. And I figured out pretty quick that other guy owned those cars. Now, that's probably not on the up and up, but that kind of stuff happens. So keep your eyes open. Now, I talked to another buddy of mine, Ken Lay. Ken's from Tennessee, and Ken is an experienced car flipper, and I believe he's a member of the Flipping Genius used car flipping forum. on Facebook. If you're not a member yet, please join. It's free. Just go to your Facebook groups, type in Flipping Genius. It'll be the first one that comes up. It's a blue and white group instead of a red and white group like our other 19 groups. And it's free to join. Just answer a few questions so I know that you're not a computer-generated scammer. And we'll let you in, and you can interact. And this is, you'll find Ken on there. And he said something that I liked. He buys a lot of cars from individuals, as do I, as do a lot of you. And he said, I prefer to screen vehicles before I travel. I have a series of questions that I like to ask in advance to find out about a vehicle's history and maintenance history when I'm purchasing a vehicle from a private seller. I find if they aren't willing to answer those questions on the phone, I'll likely not be interested when I get there. And I thought that was pretty interesting. Now, Ken, I think, buys a little better class vehicle than I do. So I have a little bit lower expectations than he does on my vehicles. But I like the idea that he wants to get a feel for the person before he buys the car or the vehicle before he gets out there. And that may be too much to expect from the seller, but it's not for Ken. And I thought, hey, I like that. I like what he shared. And I wanted to share that with you. And it's something that I do incorporate some. I do like to get as much information before I head across town or across the county. But Ken travels a lot further than I do generally to buy his vehicle. So it makes even more sense to try to get that information up front. Now, I thought, you know, I was thinking about what little things am I going to share with you. And I don't mean to change gears here, but and I'm not changing gears. I thought maybe the smartest thing that I could do when it comes to little things is put together a string of little things that I do every time I buy a car, every time I buy a car. And these are all just little things that will make you money, like I promised. And remember, the number one goal, Flipping Genius, help you make more money. So I'm going to go through a 12-point check that I follow every single time I buy a car. If I can, I go through all of these, whether it's at the auction or it's in the garage at somebody's house and everything in between. It's important that you get as much information to make your decisions on as possible. And that's what KJ was talking about, because he sees me do it before the auction, but he's not along with me when I am inspecting a vehicle in the rain at a used tire store like I was the other day. But I do the same stuff or as much of it as they will allow me to. And I'm just going to go through these one by one. There's 12 things that I do. And I recommend that you do them too if you're not already doing them. Hey, and if you've got number 13 or number 20, share them with us. Share them. You can email them to me, flippingquestions@gmail.com, or share them on the car flipping forum. Or, you know, however you want to get them to me, that'd be a great idea. Number one on my list is you should have an OBD2 scanning tool that you plug into underneath the dash. If you don't know about this, we'll probably do a video on it, but you can look on YouTube. There's tons of people. Scotty. Kilmer, I wrote it down so I wouldn't forget. Scotty does some good videos on that stuff. If you don't know, I think I paid less than $50 for my OBD2 scanning tool. You can get a better one, but it does work for me. And my code reader will show me if there's been codes cleared recently. Now, that's not the end of a deal if somebody's cleared a code, but I want to see what the seller, if there is one, like in somebody's garage, what they'll say if I tell them I found this, because it leads me down a path. Do I trust you or do I not trust you? That's a valuable tool. Of course, I look inside at the dashboard to see if there's any lights on. That's going to indicate some trouble if it's on there, but the OBD2 scanner may show some things that don't even show up on there or clarify what those things are. Now, under the hood, I pop the hood up And the first thing I want to know, will the hood stay open? If you've got the old, the hood struts, if it doesn't hold up, that's just another thing, another annoyance. But it's the first thing I think of. And on some of the high mileage vehicles that I buy, that sometimes is the case. And other guys at times, most of the times, they have a bar that holds it up these days. And I look to see how clean it looks under the hood. These are a bunch of little things, but these are all number three. I look at how clean does it look under the hood? Because I think if it's too clean, they could be hiding something. In a way, maybe this is my excuse for not cleaning engines all up when I sell them. But I think if you just have that thing sparkling clean and it's not like a show vehicle, you know, if you're buying a 99 Buick LeSabre and it's just sparkling clean, chances are you're hiding something from me, unless it's a, you know, low mileage vehicle and it's a show vehicle. But that's just my opinion. So I'm looking, does it look normal? You know, that's the first thing that catches my eye. And then while I'm at it, before I've really looked at anything else, I check the seams under the hood to see if they are straight, because this is a good place that you can find out if the vehicle's been wrecked and been repaired, because it's the hardest thing for a body shop to get those seams just perfectly straight. And if I see some indicators there, and also along the very front to see if there's been a front end collision, because I want to know if that frame has been bent. And so I'm looking for that too. That's number four. Number five, of course, I look for leaks, drips, rust, and excessive wear, both on top and especially underneath. And if I can, I like to get it jacked up. Now I've been known to take a test drive and stop and pull up on a curb so I can slide under and look at this. This is a little trick that I learned a long, long time ago. But we're looking for leaks and excessive, wear and rust that's excessive underneath. And you can do that by pulling up on a curb if you don't have to have a jack, but that's just a little thing. But you can just slide on the ground and see a lot of it too. Then the next thing I'm going to do is I'm going to look at the coolant reservoir. I'm going to look to see if the coolant is clean. And sometimes even clean coolant makes me suspect, because it can be too clean. I see this a lot at the auction where they've topped everything off with brand new coolant, like after they drove it there, because you can tell if the rest of the car just doesn't look like they have new coolant, there can be something there. But they may have just topped it off and it's not always bad. But what I'm also looking for is oil or sludge in that coolant, because that can mean head gasket trouble. You want it to be as pure as possible. Again, I'm looking at high mileage, very inexpensive vehicles. So I'm going to have lower expectations than a lot of you, but I'm still looking here. And I'm looking here while it is cool. Of course, I haven't started the car yet. And there's some other little things that I'm looking at. If they've been running the car before I got there, that could be another sign too. But I'm not going to throw that on my list here. Number seven, while I've got the engine, the hood's popped, I haven't started the engine yet. I'm going to check the power steering and brake fluid to make sure that they're clean and that the levels are correct. And I'm going to do both before and after starting the engine and driving it, because I want to look for leaks there. The next thing, and this is maybe the thing that has turned me away from cars quicker than anything else, I'm going to look under the oil cap. I'm going to pull that oil cap off. Number one, can I get the oil cap off? I had one today that I could not get the oil cap off. I've had them before like that, and I'll sometimes have my big pliers that I can actually take the thing off, but that's a bad sign. So after I take the oil cap off, I'm looking first for, is there a frothy or milky substance underneath that cap? I haven't seen that lately. I think everybody's onto that, but that means there's a head gasket issue probably. And then I look inside the engine, inside that engine cap hole too, to see if there's any sludge inside the engine too. That would be, both those things really bad. And then when the engine is running, I'm gonna take that cap off again. I'm gonna put my hand over that oil cap hole to see if there's any an excessively strong pulse, because that can indicate that I've got major motor trouble, engine trouble with that vehicle. And then number nine, before I start the car, I'm going to check the oil dipstick to see if the engine oil is clean, if it's the right amount, if there's metal flakes or chips in the oil, and again, if there's frothy or milky oil, those are bad. You know, the excessive engine wear from the metal flaky chips would mean bad stuff for the engine and the blown head gasket if we've got a milky substance on the dipstick. Well, I have seen it before. I haven't seen it recently, honestly. And then I'm going to check the hoses and the belts to see if there's excessive wear there. And if possible, I'm going to have somebody else start the engine, especially if it's cold to start with. And I want to go around back and see what comes out when you start it. And I do that even at the auction sometimes by teaming up with another dealer. And we're looking to see if there's blue smoke coming out, excessive blue smoke, really any blue smoke, that's piston wear. And if there's excessive white smoke, that's probably a head gasket issue. And I'm going to, also watch when we start it, how much movement there is of the engine itself. Cause I'm looking for broken motor mounts, which I've bought vehicles with broken motor mounts. I just want to know about it. All these things are going to be, have me adjust my price downward, obviously. And I'm going to check these same things after I take a test drive. And I'm going to throw number 13 bonus. Make sure your test drive is significant. I got caught on one recently because I just trusted the people. Try to drive 10 minutes in town driving and 10 minutes on the highway driving. You'll be gone for 20 minutes. Just tell them you're going to be gone for a little bit. If you can do that, a lot of times you can't at an auction or you can't do that. But if you can, do it and then check a lot of this stuff, if not all of this stuff, again, after you've driven it, including the code sensor all the way through. And especially if you're spending a lot of money. If you're buying some of it for $400 like I do sometimes, yeah, they may think you're a little bit crazy. But those are little things. Man, they add up to a big thing. And by not doing them, well, for instance, the test drive, that cost me about, $700 the other day because I missed something big that would have come up had I driven it a little bit more. But I distrusted the old guy, and I'll be okay. But it's just, you know, you got to take care of yourself. But those are some things. I want to thank KJ Howard and Ken Lay for throwing a few tips our way. I want to thank the boys from the Legends in Branson, Missouri for all the fun this week. And we really look forward to hearing you guys on the show coming up. It's going to be a blast. And I want to thank you guys for listening to the podcast again. Obviously there's no podcast if there's no listeners. And the listeners, you are awesome. We really appreciate you. I want you to save us as a favorite and give us a 5-star rating if you can. And share us with your friends on social media, email, wherever you can tell people about us. The bigger we get, the more we can do. And the more we can do, the more money we can help you make and save. And speaking of that, I want to mention while I'm thinking about it, when you go to flippinggenius.com, be sure to check on the resources page. You're going to find a bunch of ways to save and make more money right there on our resources page. We continue to build that and we're trying to get it better and better. And I want you to reach out to me if you can. Tell me what other information you'd like to have on the resources page, whether discounts you'd like me to negotiate. And another thing that I'd love to hear from you is what other information you'd like me to share on future episodes of Flipping Genius. And if you've got something that you think that would be valuable to everybody, reach out to me and tell me what you could offer our audience. It would be a lot of fun. And hey, I've mentioned so many times that the number one goal of the podcast is to help our listeners make more money. And the thing that we've done recently is added some hours to my schedule, I think. We're doing one-on-ones with our listeners, and I am looking forward to it. I'd love for you to consider becoming a Flipping team member or a Flipping partner or a Flipping champion, which are our three levels of membership. And part of that is interaction with me face-to-face via Zoom. And the first meeting is free. the 20-minute one-on-one meeting where we'll sit down and talk about your business and determine how I might be able to help you make more money. Hey, thanks, man, for listening. We'll be back next week with another episode. Be sure to check out the YouTube channel, Flipping Genius YouTube channel. We've got new stuff coming there all the time. And also look for us on DAA Radio. We're on there Monday, Wednesday, and Friday every time at 11 o'clock. And a lot of that's good video and audio that I think will help you with your business. Hey, let's work together. Let's make some money. Let's all become flipping geniuses. I know some things, people. I don't know everything, but what I do know can help you make more money. Schedule a 20-minute one-on-one consultation with me. Just go to www.flippinggenius.com. Click on the button that says schedule a 20-minute consultation with Randy, and then book the time. We'll get together and figure out how I can help you make more money.